Who's feeling like a little bit tired, a little bit discouraged, a little bit like you're feeling a bit down? Not down as in like you're depressed, but just you lost a little bit of your passion, sort of your, you need some encouragement tonight. Anyone like that? It's been a long term, long 2 months, especially in church. We've been very busy. Okay. Thanks for the honesty. Are the rest of you psyched up? You fired up? You got lots of power? You're going for it? Okay. But I believe God wants to encourage us tonight. Amen. Who wants encouragement? Is you going to get encouragement tonight if you want it? Okay. I know it's been a long 2 months, and then God has done awesome things in our midst. God has changed so many people's lives. But sometimes we do get tired, and we must be honest with that. Okay. And the best place where we can get encouragement is where? Where's the best place to get encouragement? Okay, yes, are you at church? Are you presence of God? Anywhere else? Where do you guys get your courage from? When you need encouragement, where do you get courage from? Word of God? Okay. But you guys are at the right place tonight. I really believe God wants to encourage you in your spirit. Are you ready for that? But it's gonna be a little bit different. So are you ready? Okay. Someone said it now, but we'll get into this. God created man for fellowship at the beginning. Amen. God created Adam and Eve in his image. God created them and he said, multiply, fill the earth, reflect my glory. The other day I was lying next to my latest born son, my 1-year-old, he's my third child, and I'm lying next to him and I'm looking at him and it's like this amazing, he looks into my eyes and he was a little bit sick, he's getting teeth, so he's not happy, so he's not too busy now, he's like lying there, but he's not like crying or anything, he's just lying kind of half content, he's almost content, but I think he's got a bit of tooth pain or something because he's getting his teeth, but I'm looking at him there and I'm just praising the Lord because I can see something of myself in the son of mine. I can actually see quite a lot of myself in the son of mine. In fact, I can see a lot of myself in all my kids, especially my firstborn because he's like got a lot of stuff that's like me. But I look at my little Nathan and it's like I get something of the father's heart there because I'm sure he looks at us and I think he looked at Adam and Eve when he just created them and he saw his image in these people. These weird creatures that he had created called people. He just saw his image and he was pleased. The end of the sixth day, he said it was very good. He created everything else good, but then he created man. He said it was very good. All of us are created in the image of God, created to reflect the glory of God. Isn't that so? That's why God created people. But then something happened right at the beginning. Something happened and that image and that glory was lost to a degree. The glory was all lost. The image wasn't quite lost because it's not like people became different. They stayed people. But the glory of God was lost. And so at the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, you can read all the stories, but it goes like this and it says that Adam and Eve decided to rebel against God. They decided not to follow what God wanted. And they ate of the fruit of the tree and the glory was lost. They suddenly realized they were naked and started to make themselves clothes and they did something which says here in verse 8 of chapter 3. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. It says that they hid themselves from the presence of God. Tonight I want to talk, who knows that God is a restorer? God wants to restore. We sang it about 3 or 4 times in 2 different songs tonight. God wants to restore. Amen. And so tonight I want to talk about God wanting to restore. He wants to restore lots of things, but one thing he does want to restore is his presence on the earth. That's one thing God so desires to do, to restore his presence on the earth. Why? Because this is what happened right at the beginning. The result of sin was Adam and Eve hiding themselves from the presence of God. And so guess what? We as people have been doing it throughout the ages. We have been hiding ourselves from the presence of God. And unless we are taught, unless we experience the Father heart of God, unless we are taught who God really is, you know what? We'll always be hiding from the presence of God. Isn't that so? Unless we understand who God really is and what He really came to do, we're always going to be hiding. It was amazing today when we went to Rates for my brother-in-law's wedding. And we were driving back and we gave someone a lift on the way back. So I knew he has an opportunity, you know, to ask a few questions, okay? I love asking questions. So she's a young 25-year-old, lives here in Bloemfontein, young, working, just started. Well, she's been working a couple of years. So I asked her this question. I said, you know, basically asked her, you know, how do you experience life after death? Have you thought about life after death? Have you thought about your purpose? Have you thought about truth? All these things. And I could see it really made her think, but she's a very quiet person. So she answers these short little answers, but, you know, doesn't ask too many questions back, which I was obviously hoping she would. Doesn't seem like she's very open at this stage. But I found her, and she lost her father when she was 10 years old. So we found that out, that she lost her dad when she was 10. But her heart has grown very hard, even though she doesn't really admit it. But it was sad for me to discover that this girl doesn't really. She said, you know, I go, and she goes to church and she believes in heaven and hell and all these things. But I realized that there's something missing here. She doesn't have a revelation of the character of God. And that's what I was trying to get. I was asking these stressed questions to try and get her to understand who God is and what He came to do and what is the gospel. Why Jesus had to die for us. But I didn't get that far because she wasn't that open. But I realized that she is typical of most people. Not really understanding who God is and actually hiding from the presence of God. Even though she can go to church and do the right thing, she didn't have a clue of whether she's like, you know, she didn't understand. I mean, I didn't ask her that, but it didn't, like, she wasn't sure that she knows God, and she wasn't sure that she, you know, she's got this close relationship with Him. And I just realized that, you know, we can go to church and we can be brought up in certain homes and we can still hide from the presence of God. We can still be afraid of the presence of God in a negative sense. Isn't that so? Because we don't understand God's holiness and God's goodness. And so it's the result of sin. And so I just want to look at a few things tonight. And there's another chapter in Genesis chapter 4 verse 16, another verse which says, "Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and he dwelt in the land of Nod." God kicked him out. God said, "You won't die. I'll make sure that there's a mark on you that no one can kill you, but you're gonna be removed from my presence." Why? Because he killed his brother because of sin. And no man can stand in the presence of God. No man, no sinful man can stand in the presence of God. Because God cannot deal with sin, and so he had to remove him. And so since the beginning, there's been what I call a default. Hiding from the presence of God, the default of sin. But I believe that God has made a plan to restore his presence on earth. Amen. Isn't that good news for us tonight? God has made a plan for his presence to be restored. So I just want to look at two Old Testament examples quickly and then get to what I really want to get to. In fact, this won't be quick. This is part of my message. But just to lead up into what I believe God wants to say tonight. Exodus chapter 33. Anyone know what Moses' greatest desire was? Who knows the story of Moses and Moses' life? Anyone know what Moses' greatest desire was? Who would guess or dare to give an answer? What was Moses' greatest desire? Just quickly. Enter the promised land. Anyone else? To see the glory of God. I believe Moses' greatest desire, and it ties in, I guess, with the glory of God, but I don't think his greatest desire necessarily was to enter the promised land. I believe God wanted him to enter the promised land, but let's read in Exodus chapter 33 from verse 12. It says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I find grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. So Moses is saying to God, he says, God, listen here, I know you've called me for great things, but, you know, God, this is a bit of a tall order unless you send me some help. And then God says to him, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So he assures Moses, he says, listen, yeah, I'm going to give you a helper. My presence is going to go with you. That's all you need. You need me. Then you'll do what I've called you to do. Then he said to God, he said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. I believe Moses' greatest desire was the presence of God in his life. Because he realized he's got this incredible calling. He's got this massive calling to lead literally almost millions of people out of Egypt into the promised land. And he says, listen here, God, I'm not going to do this on my own. And guess what? God honors his desire. And he said, I will go with you. Because I understand that you know. You understand something that I've been wanting. All I want is for you to realize that you need me. That you need my presence. So some of you tonight have got great callings upon your life. You've got a calling to be a doctor or an engineer. Okay, no, they're not engineers at Kofsi, so I can't use that. Oh, except Ian. Ian is very CUT. Eh? Where's Ian? Does he? He's an engineer. But whatever you've got to be called, you might be called to be a great sportsman, great businessman. Maybe you're called into the ministry. You've got a great calling upon your life. And I can tell you that calling will not be fulfilled unless you become like Moses and say, God, I don't want to go anywhere without your presence. I'm not going to leave Bloemfontein at the end of the year and go somewhere where you send me, Lord, without your presence. Lord, I don't want to go into next year without your presence. God, I don't want to go into tomorrow where I go back to class again just for one more week and then it's holidays. Praise the Lord. But I don't want to go anywhere, Lord, without your presence. I don't want to go into my family this holiday. Anyone going home this holiday? Who's going away to your family? It might be very difficult. Spiritually now, you might love your family, but hey, when they talk about your radical Christianity, then there's going to be some challenges. You say, God, I don't want to go there. I don't want to minister, Lord. I don't want to talk without your presence because I'm going to mess it up, God. Amen. And you see, guess what? The Lord asked Moses, just after that, he asked Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle. I want you to build me a tent. Symbolizing my presence. And guess what? They did that. And you know what? When they finished, the glory of the Lord fell. The cloud led them by day and the pillar by night. And the presence of God was with them as a symbol to say that you're not going to make this without my presence. So God could entrust Moses to build a tabernacle which represented the concentration of his presence with his people. So God wants the same desire in each one of us, to love his presence. And to not do anything without his presence going with us. Then a second example is the life of David. What was David's greatest desire? I guess we're all going to say the right answer now. David had great plans. David had great things in his life. But I believe one thing he realized, and it happened now in Psalm 51, where he's repenting of his sin. And he's realizing, and he says, God, even in my sinful state, even though I feel so filthy now, God, please do not take your presence from me, God. But how many times do we sin and then we say, oh God, I'm going to first clean myself and then I'll be holy enough to get into your presence, God. But we'll never be holy enough to get into his presence. In fact, we need his presence to get into his presence. Sounds a bit funny. But if we're getting into God's presence in our own, then we're going to miss it. In fact, we're going to look at ourselves the whole time. Isn't that so? We're going to be sin conscious and self-focused and all this stuff. Instead of saying like David, God, I'm in the midst of repentance. I feel so terrible. But God, one thing I so need is that you don't cast your presence away from me, Lord. Don't take your spirit from me. See, I believe David had a revelation of the presence of God in his life. He must have. Because you can only say this if you've had a real encounter and you understand that you need to walk with God, not just have an encounter. Because many of us have encounters with God. We have lots of encounters, and that's good. But the encounter should lead us to walking with God and having a greater desire for His presence all the time. And then guess what? David had it in his heart, the same thing as Moses, to build not a tabernacle this time, not just a little tent. He wanted to build a temple. A massive, amazing temple where worship could be restored. The presence of God was there, and people could be a little bit more freer than Moses, because Moses' tabernacle was more about sort of cleansing yourself, and only the high priest could get in. So there was a little bit more freedom in the temple of David, which ultimately he didn't get to build, because Solomon built it, because God said, sorry, you've got too much blood on your hands, but I love your heart. I love your heart for my presence. So your generation will build it. Your son will build the temple. Once again, to concentrate and to focus on the presence of God. A dwelling place for the presence of God. Yesterday at the wedding, the Duomini, a very young Duomini, he read Psalm 139 at the wedding ceremony. I was so encouraged, because it was one of my scriptures for this evening. But I realized something when he was reading this. Because he was saying that, God's presence is so awesome, and he said to the couple, listen, you guys don't need to worry, because God is with you, and God is so great and all that, and you just need to know God. God is with you. God knows you from your mother's womb. Because if you read Psalm 139, I'd like to just read a couple of verses. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me. I didn't put it all up there, but I just feel I want to read it now. Psalm 139. From verse 7. Verse 7 is up there, but I just want to read, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Then he just goes on to say that, God knows every person. He knows that you've been formed in your mother's womb. He knows the plans. He's got perfect knowledge of each person. And this guy got so passionate about the scripture, and it was really encouraging. But then I just thought to myself, so many times, and me included and us included, we get excited about this, but we don't realize that this is written by someone who's had a revelation that the presence of God is all he needs and all he desires. But if we just say this to anyone and say, God is with you and his presence, and he's, we don't have to do anything to get in his presence. He's there with you. He welcomes us in, and he's here in church already, and we just need to walk in. It's true, but if you don't have the full revelation of that, then it's not true for you. It's true for David, because he could write this, he could understand this. If we just put this across to anyone, he says, God is awesome and he's all in control. But if you don't believe this, then it's not true for you. And I don't think many people believe this. Wouldn't you agree? Myself included. Because do we really believe that if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there? How many times do we go through challenging situations and we think God has left us? I mean, let's be honest. When you feel far from God, we don't really believe God is right there. We think God is there. We must get out of this mess, because God is not there. Your darkest night, your most terrible sickness, your biggest challenge in life, is God really right there? Because many times we just say it, but is it real for us? Because God is there when things are going well. Hey, when the Springboks win, God is there, man. It's awesome. But when they lose, where's God now? And then we get all upset and we get negative and But David could understand that no matter where he went, he cannot flee from God's presence. But how many times do we flee from his presence? How many times do we run away when we've messed up? So David had an understanding of God's greatest desire. His greatest desire was that he didn't want God to leave him. And you see, in the Old Testament, God poured out his presence on very specific people. The presence of God was not universal, because there was sin in the world. Isn't that so? So he poured out his presence on Moses and on David and on leaders in the Old Testament, prophets, and they experienced the presence of God. And they had a revelation and they had an encounter, and that's why they could write these incredible things. But you see, fortunately for us, we don't live in the Old Testament any longer. Fortunately for us, someone was sent, that God's presence isn't concentrated necessarily anymore on certain people, certain anointed people, certain leaders. What was Christ's purpose? Jesus came. It says in Matthew 1:23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means what? God with us. Jesus Christ came primarily, first of all, to be with mankind. Isn't that amazing? He sent his son to become his tangible presence on earth, God with us. And that's all he did at the start. He was just there. No ministry, nothing. 30 years he was just there, God with us. From when he was born, the presence of God came onto this earth in the form of a man. Why? So that we could identify with him, so that people could identify with him. John 1 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that awesome? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus' purpose, first of all, was just to be God with us, Emmanuel. This was his name. And then he started to walk with his disciples, and then he had to start to prepare them. And in John chapter 14, he starts to tell them, "Listen, yeah, I'm going to be with you for a little while, and then I must go." And they were like freaked out because, "Oh, Jesus, please, we've built such great relationship. We want to be with you at least another 60 years or 70 years because we're going to all live to 100 and we're going to change the world together. And Jesus, you're going to be our king." And he says, "Listen here, I only need to be with you for 3 years because I'm limited. As a man, I'm limited." And so he starts to prepare them in John chapter 14. He says, "And I will pray with the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Isn't that amazing? The presence of God abiding with us forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. So he says there's going to be a challenge here because this, I'm leaving and you can see me now and you can touch me and you can feel me. But you know what? I'm going to leave and then I'm going to send my presence, and no one's going to see my presence. No one's going to know about my presence. So you know what? The world's not necessarily going to receive me. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's actually here right now. He's here in me. He's living in me because I got filled with him when I got baptized and came upon me, and I'm operating in his power. And so he's dwelling with you now. And you know what? He's going to be in you as well. But it's a little bit of a mystery. So the world's not always going to understand. It's going to be a bit weird, but I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. Because they were so afraid. If Jesus goes, their life is going to fall apart. They're going to have no more purpose. And then he says, no, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come. You must believe. So Jesus had to go away so that the helper could come, the comforter could come. Anyone need help here this evening with life? I do. Anyone need comfort here with life? I do. Life gets tough. Anyone need the encourager in your life? We must be strong and courageous. The Bible says we must be strong and courageous, just like Joshua, to conquer the giants. If you need courage, you need the encourager, and his name is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Anyone need teaching here? I need revelation. I need God to teach me. The comforter, the healer. Sorry, the encourager, the teacher, the helper. He's going to come and he's going to make his presence available, not only to you guys, but to all people. He didn't say that then, but if you read the book of Acts, the apostles thought, oh, it's only for us. It's only for the Jews. And then what happened when the Gentiles got filled with the Spirit? Whoa, they had to have a whole meeting and decide, is this now God or is this weird? Or God says, yes. My plan originally was not just Jews, it was everyone to be filled with my Spirit. Jesus could only be at one place at one time until the day of Pentecost came. And in the last days it shall be. And Peter is prophesying now because the Spirit has been poured out and he's quoting a scripture from the Old Testament. He says, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on who? On the leaders, on some people, on anointed people, on holy people, on all flesh. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And then he says, there's something going to happen when the Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit and they shall prophesy. Something is going to happen, God says, when the Spirit is poured out. There's going to be manifestations. You're going to see it. People are going to start to prophesy. People are going to start to see visions and dreams. Anyone had dreams here lately, like real dreams of the kingdom? Dreams that God given you? Is any dreamers in the place? Some people dream. God speaks to some people through dreams, some through visions. But it's not on some people, it's on all flesh. It's on all those who want to have it, who want to receive it, all those who will believe. And I know this is like weird. This is just not, the world is not going to receive this because it's like we can't see this. You know, my dad is one of those people. He's struggling to get saved because he says he just cannot believe. He cannot see something that he cannot, he cannot believe something that he cannot see. But unfortunately, the kingdom works the other way. You've got to believe it and then you're going to see it. Amen. That's faith. Faith is believing and then you're going to see. It's not seeing so that you can believe. So the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our lives is something that we really have to believe. And God says, blessed are those who believe. You haven't seen me. You know, those disciples were blessed because they could feel him. You know, Thomas was so doubting, he couldn't like believe. So God said, yeah. Jesus said, yeah, look at my hands. Now, yes, now you believe. But you know what? Blessed are those who are going to come after you because they're not going to see. But when they start believing, they're going to be blessed. And with the Spirit of God, it's the same thing. We've got to believe it. We've got to believe what the Word says. When the Spirit is poured out on all flesh, you know what? God manifests His presence. And then we see what happens in 1 Corinthians 14. There's healings. There's miracles. There's faith stirred up. There's tongues, interpretation of tongues, all sorts of gifts. And those aren't the only gifts. I believe there's gifts of skill. People have supernatural skill for certain things. That's also a gift of the Spirit, I believe. In the Old Testament, there was lots of stuff about that, but we won't go into that now. But I believe that there's supernatural manifestation when God comes to manifest His presence. Amen? I believe this is the church that God wants. Why does God want His presence restored throughout the earth? Why does He want His presence restored throughout the earth? And what does it look like? I wrote down a few things here, and you can... this. Probably lots of things that you can do, but I believe that the first thing that will happen is that believers will have boldness to witness, like in Acts chapter 1:8. It says, when the Spirit is poured out, you know what? You're going to have boldness to witness to me. I mean, to witness about me. And it was so cool today in that car when I'm talking to that, you know, my wife, like, she just wants to crawl out under the car. She just wants to get out now because now we're getting too deep and everything. And you know, you just feel the Holy Spirit coming upon you and just wanting to ask questions. It was so freeing. You know, you obviously wonder, this probably is quite weird, and she'll probably never, my wife goes, you know, you'll probably never get a lift with us again, you know, because we're going to ask you these deep questions. I just said, I asked her, what is your purpose? She said, no, I'm still this guy. I don't have a purpose. I go to work and that's all I do. I don't have a purpose. I said, you know what? My purpose is to do what I'm doing now, just to ask questions. Because I love people too much to leave them where they are. I want to know, you know, do you know your purpose in Christ? Do you know Christ? And so we've got to have boldness to witness. Just to ask people. Ask questions. Witness about Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 verse 13, you know, the believers were, I mean, the unbelievers, they could not believe that Peter and John could heal this guy. They could not believe the boldness of these apostles that were fishermen. They were like uneducated. They were weird. But it says that they must have been with Jesus. That's what these people said. They said, I can't believe this, but you know what? It looks like these people were with this guy Jesus. That's all like it looks to us. And guess, and you know, it wasn't like Jesus was there. So who were they with? His spirit. They had his spirit in him. That's why they could witness. That's why they could heal people, because of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. They had been with the spirit of Jesus. Because Jesus had left a while ago, but they had the spirit of God in them and they had boldness to witness. You know what happens when we have boldness to witness? Signs and wonders will follow. The gospel, when we preach the gospel, signs and wonders follow. Anyone excited about that? That's what we've been called for, guys, to witness. To have boldness. But I can tell you, and Henny said it this morning, it's not out of a place of doing it. It's out of a place of being. Being in Christ, being in His Spirit, having the presence of God in you so powerfully that you cannot help but tell people about Jesus. And about truth and about life. It's not just, you know, we mustn't make the gospel, it's simple, but it's not just about give your life to Jesus. It's about the fall of man, sin, truth. What is truth? You've got to ask these big questions. Where is your life going? You know, because we witness to many people who are sort of Christians. But what happens if we have to witness to the nations out there that don't have a clue about Christ? Where are you going to start? You've got to start with a bigger picture. You've got to start with history, and you've got to start with, and Benny did it incredibly. If you listen to his testimony, how he went to Europe and those people don't have a clue. But you know how you start to ask questions? About life. What matters in life? But you need boldness to witness, and you need the presence of God in your life. And then secondly, I believe we'll see people and we'll see a church that are temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? So guess where the presence of God is now? It's no longer in a tabernacle that Moses built. It's no longer in a temple that David built. It's in a body. Like you and me. Temples of the Holy Spirit. Anyone want to be a temple or a tabernacle? Yeah. If you don't want to be, then you must ask the Lord to come do something in your life. Because we need to desire to be a temple of the Spirit. To carry the Spirit of God wherever we go. But you know what's even more awesome is that when we get together, then there's a presence of God where there's all these little temples coming together and we form this awesome temple. It's called the church. Not just our church, it's the body of believers getting together. And you know what? Faith is stirred. Just go to Convergence. Those of you going to Convergence, your life is going to change next weekend. Why? Because there's an incredible amount of people with faith. We've come from a long way. Some of us have traveled short distance, long distance. We go down and we say, you know, we are the body together. We're just a small part of the body, but we are a body, and the presence of God is so there. And you have revelation that you might not have when you stay in Bloemfontein. I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm just saying, try your best to get to Convergence every year, or to go to Planted next year, or to go to a getting together where it's not just our church, it's a bigger body of believers. And that's why the Koffiekerk thing the other night was awesome, because it wasn't just a small group of people getting together. It was lots of people, and there's faith there, and we want to see Jesus. We want the presence of God. But we need to become temples of the Holy Spirit, and each of us must live a holy life. Philip talked about it last week, being sexually moral and not immoral. Fleeing from sexual immorality, because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, Paul's writing there exactly about that thing. He's writing to the Corinthians about all their stuff, and they're very charismatic, but they're not understanding holiness. And then I see a church where believers are edified, exhorted, and comforted, because that is where the Spirit of God is poured out, so that we can prophesy to one another, edify one another, minister healing to one another like we did tonight. We encourage one another. And even if God doesn't heal you fully, it's okay. You're encouraged because you have faith to believe that God can heal you sometime. Even if He doesn't heal you right now. Because God is the healer. And we need to encourage one another, exhort one another, edify, comfort one another. The Lord gave me a word for this Dwemini after yesterday's wedding. And He just gave me a specific word for it. I went to him after. I said, this is what I really feel the Lord saying. He says, yeah, thanks so much, because I experienced it in my life. Experienced God is doing what you said. So I said, no, praise the Lord. Just live for Him. Stay close to the Word. Stay close to God. And afterwards, I could say to the MC, and I don't say this to any MCs, because some MCs do a bad job, okay? So don't tell an MC you were a good MC when he wasn't a good MC. But I told the MC after, I said, you know, you're a good MC. Well done. Because he was a good MC. So don't tell someone he's a good MC if he wasn't a good MC. They just say nothing, okay? Just a tip. Don't flatter people. But when someone has done a good job, you know, encourage them and say, you're a good MC. You could do this for a job, you know. Do it again. Whatever. But when we walk by the Spirit of God, we edify one another, we comfort one another, we exhort one another by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh, not to feel good. You know, many times we want to give a word or something to look good or feel good or just tick our boxes, and that's not what God wants. God wants us to walk by the Spirit. Believers that are edified, exhorted, comforted. I see believers that demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. If we have the presence of God in our lives, you know what? The fruits will come, because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is lots of things. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Patience and long-suffering are the same. Love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. When the presence of God is in your life, you know, fruits come. Fruits are grown. Character grows, and this is all about character. And so I see incredible benefits of the presence of God in our lives. The fruits are grown, and they manifest to the world. And the world wants to eat of good fruit. Amen? The world wants good fruit out there. The world doesn't want, you know, more bad fruit, because there's so much bad stuff going around. The world wants fruits of the Holy Spirit. And then I see a church and believers that live with wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1:17, God says, I desire, and Paul writes, I desire that you live by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Do we need wisdom and revelation in these days? We need it. There's lots of funny stuff going on out there. Lots of prophecies and lots of this and that. We need revelation from God. We need wisdom from God. When to just say this is God or this is not God. We need discernment. We need so much stuff, guys, in the last days. But where's it going to come from? The presence of God. Living in the presence of God. And then the big one. It ties in with what we need at this time. Revelation and wisdom as to when the end is going to be. Matthew chapter 25. Ever read the parable of the virgins with the lamps? Some oil, some five of them, their oil ran out and they didn't have oil, and others topped up their oil enough. And suddenly the master comes and is running around. Have we got oil? Haven't we got oil? I want to ask you tonight, have you got oil in your lamp? That oil represents the Holy Spirit. Have you got the presence of God in your life? Have you got the presence of God to come and tell you that you are ready for the return of Jesus? And not tell you that you are ready, but to make sure that you have that. You're filled up with it. You've got it, because you never know when he's going to come. Have you got the presence of God to just make sure that you are walking in line with God and not getting deceived and confused and all the stuff, just saying, you know what, I'm doing the will of my Father. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was ready at all times to do the will of the Father. And that's why he could go to the cross and he could suffer and sweat blood, because he knew this is what he's called for. And everything in him said, I don't want to do this. But you know what? He said, Father, not my will, your will be done. I'm ready for your will. Have we got oil in our lamps? Are we ready like those five virgins that were ready to meet their Maker? Are we ready when Christ returns? Or are we going to be busy with all sorts of other things? Are we going to be busy with our own lives? Or are we going to be busy with the business of the kingdom? But the only way you're going to do that is by having oil in your lamp, being ready. And it's so exciting, guys, that the presence of God is available to all of us. Isn't that amazing? It wasn't concentrated in one place like with Moses. It wasn't concentrated in one place like with David. But Jesus Christ came to open up the door for everyone to receive the presence of God. Because he was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He came. And I'll never forget when I got filled with the presence of God. You know, I knew Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 15 years old. But I couldn't make a difference. I couldn't tell anyone about this amazing Jesus in my life. I knew I was fine, and it was all about me. I was still very selfish, because I was going to heaven, and it was awesome. And I received a lot of headwind from the front at school because something happened in the spirit. I knew I'd stepped out of darkness into light because something was different. People would say stupid things about me, and I thought, where is this coming from? Like, I knew it was a spiritual battle, but I could never testify to these. I could never say, you know, Jesus is the one that's changed my life. And I had to walk like that for 9 years until I was 24 years old. I was 15 when I gave my life to Jesus. I was 24, somewhere around October 2001. Experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I went through the waters of baptism. We baptized a couple of people this afternoon. It was so awesome. Anyone who was baptized here? Some of you are here. Well, all of you here. All of you are here. So cool. You guys missed out on just seeing people coming out of the water. Just into new life. But I'll never forget when I was baptized, and around then, I don't know exactly when. You know, I had an infilling of the Holy Spirit a couple of times, but I just remember after that, I started to have the fullness of God in my life. I just couldn't keep quiet. And I'm a very shy guy. I'm a very quiet person. I don't like to talk to people easily. I would rather just sit and do my own thing. Until the Spirit got a hold of me, and I had this passion for people. I just wanted to be amongst people, whereas previously I was like me in my little engineering box and, you know, just do my own thing. The less people, the better. You know, people are like problems. Issues, you know. Until God started to show me a heart for people, and He started to show me His fullness, and said, "I want to use you in people's lives." I couldn't stop talking, and the one guy we went for a muscle bar. I had to get a muscle biopsy in my leg because he was testing runners and everything. So I ran on the treadmill and just blood tests and blood samples and all this stuff. And in the meanwhile, I'm telling this guy, "Listen, yeah, you've got to come. You've got to come to small group. You've got to come to church. God's doing stuff in my life. Come." This guy comes to church, gets saved, starts in our cell group, follows the Lord. He's still following the Lord today. A couple of years ago, he just couldn't stop thanking me. After he had followed Jesus and his life was changed and he got his smoking and he stopped all his stuff, he just said to me, "I just want to thank you for just telling me about life." And it was just so amazing for me to be able to just fulfill my purpose. And I was working as an engineer, but I just wanted to tell people at the work about Jesus. And we prayed together, a couple of us. We prayed every morning when we went to work, and we said, "God, we want you to do something in this company." Started a prayer group there and invited people, and we saw God doing awesome stuff. Because we had a desire that God's presence went with us wherever we went. We said, "God, you've got to do stuff in my company. You've got to do stuff in my faculty. Whatever you are, wherever you are, you need to say, God, do stuff in my res. Do stuff in my team, my sports team. Do stuff in my class or my workplace. God, I want your presence there, and I'm a carrier of your presence, and I want to find out who else has got the presence of God, because we can't do this alone." And that was such a blessing to find out who the other Christians, and some of them weren't spirit-filled. We didn't mind. We just said, "Everyone, we have faith. Jesus is here." And these people were challenged because, you know, Christenskap is a persoonlike thing, you know, like, you know, the answer that you get, you know, it's a personal thing. It's just me and God. And that's how I lived for 9 years, and it was okay, but it wasn't great. Missed out on such an adventure of being a blessing and having the fullness of God in my life. And so I want to say to us tonight, it's not a personal thing. We need everyone on board. We need to do this as a team. But when the presence of God comes, it's going to be awesome. When it comes into your life, it's going to be amazing. And I know tonight and every time we get together, He's here, because we know He's here and we believe He's here and He's excited to be here. But I believe God wants to impact each one of our lives with His presence so powerfully that we'll want to walk with Him every day. And even though we miss out, it's not about your quiet time and how much you read the Bible and how much, and that's important. But it's about knowing the presence of God and being able to speak to God, being able to speak in tongues. You know, praying in tongues helps. When you don't know what to pray and you're feeling down, you just go into the spirit language. You edify yourself. Build yourself up. Some people tonight, I believe, you've got to activate your spirit language because you're so shy. You can't get it out. You've been spirit-filled maybe, but you haven't been released. And you just need to start speaking in your tongue so that you can be released to actually get to God. To say, "God, I'm struggling, but help me." To recognize that you need God. And to be like David and say, "Soul, be still now. I'm worshiping God. And I don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying weird stuff. I'm bubbling like a little baby, but I'm worshiping God. My spirit is crying out." I remember when I got, I struggled to get the tongues thing. It was such a barrier for me because I'm so, very much in my mind and I'm trying to work it out. And I was called to we did an encounter one. CS was still facilitating very much on his own because there weren't many facilitators those years. So I'm like doing the encounter one. It was called Foundation One at the time. Now I've just been spirit filled. I wasn't baptized yet. I think I was spirit filled in the cell group, but I couldn't get the tongue thing. So CS calls me for it. He says, come, you and this other, you guys got to pray now for these people who need to get the tongues. And I'm like thinking, whoa, I haven't even got my tongue yet. I'm one of those who need it. He's like, because I'd been in the church for quite a while, so he probably thought, I must be spirit filled already. I'm just taking long to do these foundations. So I just went forward and I'm like, and he's like louder, louder, and like he's praying in tongues now. And I'm just like following him, and then I get released in my own spirit language, just in praying after him because I had such a block in my mind. So I'm so thankful for moments like that where I just prayed after someone else. I just monkey see, monkey do type of thing, Whatever stuff he spoke, I just spoke, and the other guy, and we just prayed louder, and these people got spirit filled and saved. Filled with the Holy Spirit and got their tongues. And God had to nudge me, but God had to push me into the deep end to really start to flow in the Spirit. And after that, I could pray for people, and people came forward for ministry, and I was like, whoa, how am I going to pray? And God starts to give me words and prophecies for people, and I'm like, okay, God, I don't want to do this, but cell leaders have to pray for people, so Lord, I'm doing this. And I found the greatest joy in not getting saved myself, not getting spirit-filled myself, but the greatest joy for me was seeing other people experience God, seeing other people encounter God. But I know I could only do it because of the power of God and the presence of God in my life. One last story before we close. I love telling the story, but just to do with boldness, and when the Spirit fills us, we do stuff in obedience to God, and it's just amazing. But so it was just at that time when I was really flowing in the Spirit, and God was doing stuff in my life, and I'm go home now to the farm. I went to the farm to my parents. The Lord just said to me, I must now anoint my farmhouse. I must anoint the farmhouse because my brother's overseas and he's going to take over the farm. But he wasn't there. It was just my parents. So the Friday night I get there and we sort of chat a little bit. And then I think, now I must do this now. I mustn't wait for the last day because something's going to happen and I won't have time. I must be obedient. So now I asked my mother, I said, have you got some oil? Because I want to anoint the house. And now I can see her eyes already going big like this. Like, what is this now? And now my parents love me so much, they don't like resist too much what I do. They kind of think it's weird, but they'll kind of do what I want to do. Sort of, it's so funny. So I get the oil, and I said, you guys can come with me if you want to, but I mean, you can go to bed now. It's fine. But they like, I think they're so afraid to go to bed because there's going to be weird stuff happening in this house now, So anyway, they stand there. Then I'm thinking, okay, I'll just go to the one corner in the one room of the house, and now I'm putting oil on the wall there and sort of praying, not like loud in tongues because I know that's also weird for them, but I pray in the Spirit, but they're like following me, but there's dead silence. They're like two stiff robots, like walking like this, behind me now. So I'm like praying as I'm going and just saying, no, God is good and whatever. And then I go to the next corner and they're just walking behind me, but there's nothing. No word is said, anything. I go to the third corner, anoint there, and I'm like into their room. The last corner is in the room. So they're following me behind me like this. And then the heads are bowed. Then it's like holy moments now, The presence of God is here. So I finish anointing the wall and I walk back and I just see them standing like this. Just lay hands on both of them. Just start to pray over them. Tears running down my mother's face. My dad's like struggling to keep back the tears. Thought I was so weird, but the presence of God just came into our house. Seed was sown in their lives. And I know my brother's blessed to this day because I know that house is anointed. That house is protected. The farm is prospering. To this day, God is doing awesome stuff. But sometimes we need to just say, God, we need your presence. And the anointing there represented not oil on the wall, nothing else but the presence of God. So I want the band to come forward tonight, and I want us to pray. So I believe some people tonight, you need refreshing the presence of God. You need the Holy Spirit to just come and fill you, and whether it's refilling you or Whether you need encouragement tonight, whether you need boldness tonight to witness, whether you need God's holiness to come and consume all the sin in your life, all the shortcomings, all the mess-ups, all the condemnation, whatever it is, I believe the presence of God is the key, guys. If we desire the presence of God, you know what? We don't have to worry about our sin. God sorts out our sin. He says, just come. You have to repent of your sin. You've got to recognize it, but just come into my presence and be like David. Say, God, don't cast me away from your presence. God, please, I need you. Save me now. Change my life now, God. Father, I just want to thank you for each one of us this evening, Lord. God, I want to thank you, Lord, that we can be in your presence right now, Lord. That there's healing in your presence, Lord. There's the flow of your Spirit in your presence because your Spirit is here. There's freedom in your presence, God. There's deliverance and there's liberty. And Lord, there's life in your presence tonight. There's encouragement in your presence, Lord, because you sent us the Helper, the Comforter, the Encourager, the one who teaches us. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you are here tonight to minister to each one of us, Lord. Lord, some of us have just... Lord, we see your presence only in certain places, God. We see your presence in, Lord, like in glimpses. But Lord, I just sense tonight you want to say to some people that your presence, God, is everywhere. But Lord, even like yesterday in that church, Lord, when I realized, God, that you... It's not just about agreeing with the word. It's really believing that, Lord, and looking outside in nature and seeing that your presence and your glory fills the whole earth. Even in our darkest hour, Lord, even if we feel like we're going to the depths of hell, Lord, you are there. Lord, tonight we want to believe that, Lord, but we don't always believe it. So thank you, Lord, that your presence is not limited to church. It's not limited to when we worship, Lord, or when we sing songs. It's not limited to even when we read your word, Lord. It's not limited to any space or time, Lord, because your presence is poured out for all. Thank you that we can receive the fullness of your Holy Spirit to help us to understand that your presence is within us, Lord. The kingdom of God is within us. So I pray for people, Lord, who are living a dualistic life, Lord. They're living a church life or a kingdom life and then a life in the world where your presence is just put aside, Lord, where there's no time to always just say, Lord, come, help me here. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me revelation. Help me to stop talking now because I'm talking too much. Help me to talk more because, Lord, I need to speak your word. I need to tell someone a word of encouragement or even to get into order. Lord, without your presence, God, we just a vapor in the wind, Lord. We toss to and fro, God. So many times we're confused, but thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring order right now. So I want us all to stand this evening. I want to ask you very honestly. There's just two groups of people here tonight as we all stand together. Just want you to right now recognize, before we minister to certain people, I want you just to recognize. Either put your hands in front of you or put your hands up. Or do something to recognize that the King is here and His presence is here. Whether you must bow your knee or kneel down or whether you must put your hands together in prayer. Whatever, just recognize tonight. Just do something to recognize that the King is here. That His presence is here tonight. But the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus is here by His Spirit. He's here. And we can't see Him and we can't touch Him, but we know He's here because it's a faith thing. We've got to believe. I want to challenge us to come to church, not to wonder if God is going to be there, not to wonder what God is going to do, but to know God is going to do something. God is there. I know many times we do that. So I'm speaking to people who come to church because you want the presence of God. That's why you come. Maybe for those of you who don't, I want you to be challenged to come to church, not to meet primarily with people and to have a cup of coffee and to have a nice word, but to recognize that God is here.